So I don't know about you guys, but have y'all ever experienced something that was like so good that you just had to share it with your friends or your family? You had to tell them about it, right? You guys have experienced this before. It might be like a type of food. And so, for example, you went to Texas Roadhouse for the first time, and you were like, these rolls are really all they are like made up to be. And so you go around and you tell people, you're like, hey, these Roadhouse rolls, you need to go and try them because they are the real deal. It could be a food that you tell your friends or your family about, or it might be a type of makeup, for example, for you ladies. It better not be any men in here who are suggesting makeup to anybody, all right? But if you're a lady, you've probably suggested to me like, hey, this bronzer or something like that is really, really good. You should try this bronzer or this eyeshadow or something like that. Or you might have gone to the movie theater with your family and seen an awesome movie and been like, okay, that was a 10 out of 10. It's a top 5 movie. I need all my friends to go and see this movie so that way I can have somebody to talk about it with. And so we do this, though, where we have this great experience and it's completely normal to go to our friends, to our family, to the people around us and say, hey, I had this great experience. You should try this out as well. And I remember back in 2017, I experienced this when one of my friends, his name is Steven, probably my best friend since middle school, he was telling me about this game that I just had to play. Now, I'm typically like a one or two game type of guy. Like, I don't want to play more than one or two games at a time. So my games are like Madden and MLB The Show or something like that because I love sports, okay? And so I would play those, and he's like, you got to come and try this game. And I was like, I don't want to play another game. Like, I don't have time to play another game. You know, I had time. But he's just sitting there raving about this game to me back in 2017. And finally, he invites me over to play it. And I play it, and immediately I'm hooked from that moment on. The game was called Fortnite, by the way. I still play it to this day, so I'm kind of a dweeb for those of you who don't know. I would say he told me about the game, and it impacted my life for a long time because I hate to admit this, but I've played over 1,500 hours of that game, which is just a ridiculous amount, since 2017. You're probably like, aren't you supposed to be reading your Bible? Aren't you a pastor or something? Yes, I should spend more time reading my Bible and less time on Fortnite. In fact, I've done this recently where I shared a good experience with a bunch of the teenagers in our youth group because I'd gone to Dairy Queen just off chance. You know, I went to Dairy Queen and I tried this thing called the Fruity Pebbles Blizzard. And all it is soft serve vanilla ice cream and Fruity Pebbles. And let me tell you, it changed my life, okay? Like, I loved it so much that I was going to teenagers and I was like, hey, you've got to go and you've got to try this Fruity Pebbles Blizzard because it's so, so good. I told the whole youth group, I used it in my sermon a few months ago for the youth. And it's so funny because I would get text messages from people, from the teenagers being like, oh, bro, it's so good. Like, thank you so much for putting me on this. And it's all because I shared my experience with the teenagers and said, hey, this is what I need you to know. This Fruity Pebble Blizzard, it is 10 out of 10. It's so good. You got to go and try it. And we've done this with songs and movies and all this other stuff. We do it with our friends. It's natural to share experiences that we like. In fact, it's even natural to share experiences that are bad, for example. And so you see this with teenage boys all the time. They taste something and it's really bad. They're like, bro, you got to try this. It's so bad. They're like, it's really gross. Or a few weeks ago, my wife brought me heavy creamer and it had gone really bad. She was like, this smells terrible. Smell it. I was like, get that away from me. I was like, it smelled really bad. All that to say, we love to share our experiences with the people around us. Whether they're good, whether they're bad, we want people to experience what we are experiencing. Now, when we share that experience, what we're doing is we are testifying about that thing. We are testifying to them. We're sharing our testimony about our experience with that thing. Now, I love that word testify. There's just something like soulish about it. Testify. You know, like it gets deep in my heart. Now, some of you guys, when you hear this word, you probably think about like a courtroom setting, like a court case, for example. And that's a great example of what it means to testify. And I was trying to think about how to like give an example of this of what it really means to testify. And it would be like if a fit of rage just overcame me in this moment, like I just got angry for no reason, and I ran over here, and I drop-kicked Ryan in the face and knocked out another one of her teeth, okay? Like, you know, knocked out another one of her teeth. she would take me to court, obviously, okay? Because I assaulted her and I had to pay for her injuries and stuff. And what would happen is you guys would all be called in as witnesses because you saw and you experienced what I did to Ryan. And y'all saying, that brother is guilty, he needs to go to jail because it's not okay to dropkick people. And so you would get called into the court because you were a witness of what I did, and you would be called to testify and share your testimony about what I did to Ryan. And this is what we do all the time. When we experience something, when we see something, whenever we taste something, when we experience something with our senses, we share our testimony about it. Now, I don't think that we just share our testimony in court, and I don't think that we're supposed to only share our testimony whenever it comes to the good things that we experience, whether it's food or movies or songs or other stuff like that. But I believe that if you're a believer in this room, you, me, us, we are meant to share our testimony about Jesus every chance, every opportunity that you and I get. We should share our testimony about the Lord Jesus. In other words, whenever we're sharing our testimony, whenever we're sharing with people about what Jesus has done, we're just sharing the good things that God has done in our life. And to give you a brief, like a dictionary, Bible-y definition of what a testimony is, faith-wise, it is a personal story of what God has done in your life. Has God done anything in anybody's life in this room? Yeah, I see Mary back there with both hands up. Yes, ma'am. If we're a believer in this room, God has done something in your life, and we have the opportunity to share what he's done in our life with those who are around us. If you're a believer, you have a testimony. Here's the problem, though. The problem is that I found that we are more likely to tell the people around us about a good movie than we are to tell them about the good things that Jesus has been doing in our life recently. We're more likely to tell the people around us about some good food that we ate than we are to tell them about what Jesus is doing in our church, what Jesus is doing in our youth ministry, what Jesus is doing in our kids ministry, which is a part of our testimony as we are members of this church. And that is backwards. That's not right. Is it okay to share things that are good? Absolutely. But what I'm trying to say is we should testify and give our testimony about what Jesus has done in our lives just as much as we are testifying about Texas Roadhouse Rolls, all right? It should be right up there with it. Also, I think that many of us, we have this idea that sharing our testimony is something that's going to be awkward or hard. And can I tell you, it's only awkward or hard if you make it awkward and hard. It doesn't have to be awkward and hard. It doesn't have to be uncomfortable when you do it. And some of you guys may be, more introverted in personality, and I understand that. I can't really say that I understand it completely because I'm like golden retriever, extroverted. I don't fully understand it, but I understand that there is some hesitancy to do that whenever you think about sharing your testimony. Or maybe some of us in this room, we think that sharing our testimony, it doesn't do any good. I share my testimony with people and nothing happens in the moment. I feel like it just falls on deaf ears and it doesn't take a hold in their heart. And I'm here to tell you tonight, that's not true either. And so tonight what I want to do is I want to talk to us about our testimonies. And I want to share with us how we can use our testimony about what God has done in each of our lives to influence the people around us. And the end goal through that is making the kingdom of God a bigger and better place. By the way, I love how the Holy Spirit works because we sang that song, I Witnessed It, tonight, and that was just the perfect song to lead up into this message because we've witnessed the goodness of God, and at the end of that song it says, to my family I'll witness it, to my city I'll witness it, to my friends I will witness it, and so on and so forth. It's time to start witnessing about what Jesus has done, and I'm preaching to myself tonight because I need to do better about this as well. And so I want to share a couple things about our testimonies that I feel like are going to help us be more comfortable with sharing it. And there's some Bible stories that I'm going to pull into each of these things. So the first thing that I want you to know, which I've kind of already said multiple times, but it needs to be said again. The first thing I want you to know about your testimony is that it is meant to be shared. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be shared. It's not meant to stay inside. You know, there's like some things that you shouldn't say. You know, there's some things that I'm the king of like foot and mouth syndrome. Okay, for example, we went on vacation a few months ago to Milwaukee, and my grandma was like, she gave me a $100 bill, and she was like, "Don't tell your grandpa that I gave you this." I was like, You got it. I kid you not, more than 10 minutes later, you can ask my wife. I'm sitting there, I go to my grandpa, and I'm like, thank you so much for giving me this $100 bill. And my grandma is sitting in the back. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, what? You guys gave me a $100 bill. And I just kept running in my mouth. Foot and mouth syndrome. I shouldn't have shared that. Your testimony is not that. Your testimony is something that should be shared with everybody. I think about it like this. Whenever we are keeping our testimony inside, we're gatekeeping Jesus from other people. Amen. We've experienced something good, and when we keep our testimony inside, we're not letting other people know about the goodness of Jesus that we've experienced in our life, and that's not okay. I love this story in Mark chapter 5, where Jesus encounters a guy in the Bible who is referred to as the demoniac. And so the demoniac is a guy, he's filled with all these demons. Nobody goes around him. He's just crazy. He's insane. He's been possessed by many demons. And Jesus goes, he delivers the demoniac. He gets the demons out of him, sends the demons into pigs. The pigs go and drown themselves. And I feel like we would have the same reaction as the demoniac in that situation. He's in his right mind again. He's got clothes on because he was naked before. He's got clothes on and he's in his right mind. And he goes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to go with you. Jesus is getting in a boat at this time, going back across the Sea of Galilee at this point. And he says, I want to go with you. And Jesus says something interesting here. And we're going to pick it up in verse 19 and 20 where it says, Jesus did not let him go, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Now, Jesus said no to him following him because he had a testimony that he had to go and share with the people in this place called the Decapolis, which was just this gathering of 10 cities in ancient Greece. And so he says, no, you can't go with me because you got to go and tell the people about what has happened in your life. And it says, I love this, and all the people were amazed. You want to know why they were amazed? Not just because of the words that he said, but because they realized that there was true change in his life. There was true change. And here's what I want us to get. We need to make sure that our testimony lines up with the way we're living. We don't want to share a testimony about Jesus and then, you know, be living like the devil. We don't want to share our testimony about Jesus and then look like the world. In fact, your greatest testimony is the way you act. That's right. That's the greatest way that you can shine a light on who Jesus is and what he would do is by acting like Jesus himself. And then let your words follow the way you act. And so this is what he does. He goes and he shares his testimony of what Jesus has done in his life. Now, some people like myself used to think that, well, if I'm going to share my testimony, I need to have all the answers to every theological question there could possibly be. You know, I feel like I can't share my testimony until I figure out, you know, like, what if they ask me about the dinosaurs? What do I do about that? Like, how does that wrap into the Bible? Or like, what if they ask me about this certain apparent contradiction in the Bible? Which, by the way, there are no contradictions in the Bible. There are none. But what if they ask me about one that I can't figure out or I can't solve right in that moment? Or what if they ask me about the problem of good and evil and how can a good God allow evil? All those things have answers. They do. But you don't need to know the answer to those questions in order to share your testimony. In fact, if you're sharing your testimony with somebody and they ask you a question, I've got three magical words you can say to them that will help you. I don't know. It will save you. Because, I don't know, I sometimes am like an idiot. I'd like to say I call myself that. I get myself in more trouble when somebody asks me a question that I don't know the answer to, and then I answer the question like I know the answer, but I don't know the answer, and so I'm shooting in the dark, and it turns out to be wrong. And so you can say, I don't know, to any questions like that. That is perfectly okay. But here's what you can tell them, even though you don't have the answer to that question. You can tell them what Jesus has done in your life. You can tell them that. They cannot dispute that. There's this instance in John chapter 9 where Jesus comes across a man who was born blind. And so this man is born blind, and what happens is Jesus, he heals his eyes. He opens his eyes, and he can see for the very first time. And so he heals his eyes, and you think, well, that's a great story. That's fun. But things get a little bit crazy after this because people in his life are like, whoa, like, you're healed. You can see. you know, you used to be sitting here on the side of the road begging for alms, and now you all of a sudden can see. And so they get the Pharisees involved, which these guys, the Pharisees, they get the Pharisees involved, and the Pharisees begin to question this man about who Jesus is and what he did in their life. And basically what ends up happening is they accuse the man of not being blind. They're like, you were never blind, you weren't born blind, because how could Jesus, the Pharisees thought Jesus was a sinner, how could a sinner heal a man who was born blind? And so they then go and they ask the parents questions, the parents of the man, and they're like, hey, he was born blind, but you know, you need to go and talk to him because he's of the age where he can talk for himself now, because they didn't want to get in trouble with the Pharisees because the Pharisees were bad dudes at the time. And so they say, go back to the man, and this is where we'll pick it up in John chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. It says, a second time they, the Pharisees, summoned the man who had been blind. And they said, give glory to God by telling the truth. They said, we know this man is a sinner. And so basically they're saying, hey, glorify God by saying that you lied and that you actually were never blind and that you're lying about being healed because you yourself were never blind. And this is how he replies, and I want you to see how the man replies who was healed. He says, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. I don't know. But one thing I do know is I was blind, but now I see. And so these questions about him being a sinner, these questions about, you know, who he is and like, what is he God? Is he not God? Is he just a prophet? I don't know the answer to that. But what I do know is this man came and healed me from this thing that I've been struggling with my whole life. I was blind and now I can see. And it's all because he was willing to say, I don't know, I can just tell you what Jesus has done in my life. In verse 26, it says this, then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And I love verse 27. This is the mic drop moment for this guy. He says this. He says, he answered, I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Like, mic drop moment. I love the sassiness from this guy. Like, hey, you want to become his disciple? I'll tell you again, all right? And I just love the fact that he shares his testimony. He doesn't have all the answers, but he knows that he's meant to share it. And so he shares his testimony about, hey, I don't know the answer to this, but I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. Your testimony is meant to be shared, not meant to be kept inside. Another thing I want you to know about your testimony. Your testimony is powerful. Powerful. It's powerful. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that your testimony is just ordinary because you haven't done enough bad things in your past. It's not true. It is a lie from the enemy. You know, don't think to yourself, well, I haven't done drugs or I don't have a super hairy past, so, you know, I'll just leave the testimonies to the people who do have experienced that, and Jesus has brought them out of that. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you that way. Your past does not have to be riddled or super dark in order for you to share your testimony. You want to know what you can testify about today? You can testify about what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. He says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings, the desires of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And so guess what? You don't need a super hairy testimony, because the person who did drugs, the person who even we think of extreme, the person who murdered somebody is just as condemned as the person who told a lie, just as condemned as the person who decided to gossip. Just as we are all condemned to hell until the moment that we are saved by grace. And so guess what? We need to be testifying about that. We need to testify to people, hey, I was on the highway to hell, as the song goes. I was going that way. And then Jesus came and he pulled me out of that, and I got to know the way, the truth, and the life, and he showed me a better way. We need to testify about that to the people in our lives. You don't have to have a messy past in order to have a powerful testimony. You don't need to have a messy past. I don't have a super messy past, you know, but I need to share my testimony. I need to quit believing the lie that just because I didn't do this, that, or the other doesn't mean that Jesus hasn't done great things in my life that other people need to know about, because he certainly has. I love what Revelation 12:11 says. In Revelation 12, what we see here is there's a war between heaven and, or between the dragon, Satan, and the church. And it says this about the church. They, the church, the people of God, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By the blood of the Lamb, by the, what? I would never guess that our testimony would be in the same sentence as the blood of the Lamb. You're talking about the very thing that makes us white as snow, cleanses us from sin. Our testimony is in the same sentence as that, as being what defeats the enemy in the end. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. That's how powerful our testimony is. And I will admit, I at times have fallen into the lie that, you know, believing that my story, my testimony, it doesn't make a big difference in other people's lives. And I'm here to tell you tonight that that's what the enemy wants us to believe. Is that when we share our testimony, it's not going to do anything. It doesn't make a difference. It's not going to do anything in that person's life. But here's a verse that I think is going to encourage us today. It's 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. It's Paul writing, and he says this: I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. You're probably like, how in the world does that pertain to this? Let me tell you something. Every time that we share our testimony with somebody, we are planting a seed. We're planting a seed in the heart of some whoever is listening to us. In that moment, we are planting a seed. And here is the most irritating things about seeds, okay? It's a weird sentence, I know. When you go and you plant a seed, you can stand there for a few hours and look at it, and nothing's going to happen. That seed is going to be in the dirt. You're not going to see any growth. There's nothing coming out of it. And so I think a lot of times we share our testimony and we sit there and we're waiting for like this moment a lot of times. And it's like, nothing's there. Where's the growth? What is happening? What's happening is you have planted a seed in that moment. And I will say, I know for a fact that there are some moments where you can share your testimony with somebody and they will be radically changed. But there are also times where in ministry, I feel like this is in general with ministry, where you do something and it's like, where's the fruit? Like, come on, where is it? And there's a waiting period that takes place. That's why I love doing the yard here. I love doing yard work. You want to know why? Instant gratification. I do the yard, I'm like, that looks good. That is the fruit of my labor, you know? But when we share our testimony, when we preach, when we share a word of encouragement with somebody, we're not always going to see that fruit immediately, because we're planting a seed, and seeds take time to grow. And God is the one who gives the increase, and so at the right time, God is going to come along and increase that growth within them. And so my encouragement tonight is this: share your testimony, and don't base the success of your testimony on whether or not there is fruit. Base your thought about your testimony on the fact that you're being obedient to Christ and sharing your testimony with the people around you in your life. Because we shouldn't be, how should I say this? We shouldn't be people who are so driven by the result, because sometimes the result, we can't see the result in our own eyes. We need to be driven by obedience and then trust God that the result is going to happen at some point or another. Because sometimes God takes time. Sometimes, you know, we have to wait on the Lord. And so your testimony, our testimonies, they are powerful. And finally, your testimony is an open door. Your testimony is an open door. Reminds me of the song, Love is an Open Door. Your testimony is an open door. And that way you'll remember it. So what is it an open door to? What is our testimony an open door to? Our testimonies are an open door for us to invite. Invite to what? Invite to experience what we've experienced here at church in our daily walk with Jesus. It's an opportunity to invite them and to say, hey, it's one thing for me to tell you about it, but I want you to come and experience it. I want you to come and experience it. And I love that there's a story in John chapter 4 where Jesus encounters this lady who's known as the woman at the well. And so Jesus encounters this lady. He's not even supposed to be talking to Samaritans, because Samaritans hated Jews, Jews hated Samaritans, and he radically changes her life at this well. He radically changes her life. And what happens is she leaves her water jar at this well, which is the very thing she went out there to do in the first place, was to get water, because she didn't want to be around other people at midday because she had a promiscuous past that Jesus has set her free from. And so she goes back to Samaria, to her village where she lives, and she goes and she tells everybody about this man, Jesus, who has changed her life forever. And we're going to pick up the story in John chapter 4, verses 39 through 42. So she goes back to Samaria and she tells them in her village all about Jesus. And it says this, it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Because of the woman's testimony, they believed in Jesus. Your testimony is powerful. People can believe in Jesus because of your testimony about his goodness in your life. That may be crazy to hear, but it is true. They believed, some of them believed because of what she told them about what Jesus had done in their life. He told me everything I ever did, she said. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is really the Savior of the world. We know that this man is really the Savior of the world. She said, hey, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Come and see a man. Come and see a man. And what I believe this is saying to us tonight is when we share our testimony, don't just leave it there, but say, hey, I have this church that I love, and I would love for you to come and experience what I get to experience every single Sunday and every single Wednesday, where we get to enter into the presence of God, where we get to experience the Holy Spirit, and he gets to deepen our relationship with him. Come and join us in our small group, where we get to be in Christian community, where we actually care about each other, and we want to take care of one another, and so on and so forth. And I think that it's so important that we don't just say our testimony and leave it there, but we invite them to come and see a man who's changed everything about us. Come and see Jesus. Come and see him. I don't want you to just hear about him. I want you to experience him for yourself. I want you to experience the goodness that I've gone to experience. We should invite our friends, our family, our enemies to experience the man that can change them from our enemies to our friends. But it only happens if we share our testimony. It only happens if we're willing to be obedient and bold and share our testimony with those around us. Psalms 34, verse 8, it says this. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Taste and see. And here's what I want. I want the people in our lives, the people around us, I want them to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want them to taste and see. Not just by the words of our mouth, but by the way we act when we're around them. I want them to taste and see through my actions that the Lord is good. And I want to let my life be a witness and a testimony of how God can change somebody from, you know, disobedient, from, you know, not honoring their mother and father, from somebody who was filled with stress for a while to somebody who can have peace and somebody who honors their mother and father and all the other things. And so taste and see that the Lord is good. Your testimony is an open door to invite people to experience Jesus, the way that we've experienced Jesus. And so, our testimonies, they're powerful, they're meant to be shared, and they're an open door. And before I close, I just want to take a couple minutes, to share a couple testimony quick tips with you. Super simple application. Testimony quick tip number one, Jesus Lou. Number one, make it all about Jesus. Make it all about Jesus. I've seen people share their testimony on like YouTube shorts and Instagram shorts, and I was like, was that a testimony about Jesus or a testimony about you and what you did? And so if we're not careful, we can get caught up in the fact that we focus on everything that we've done rather than what Jesus has done. And so we need to make sure that when we're sharing our testimony with people, we are telling them that, hey, I was a wretch, and now I'm saved by grace, and I'm made righteous by the King, and it's all because of him and not because of anything that I necessarily have won. And so number one, you got to make it all about Jesus. Number two, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Don't make your testimony too long, okay? And what I mean by this is I remember a time in high school, or shortly after I graduated high school, we went over to a friend's house, and Jesus had really impacted his life, and it was amazing, and it was awesome. And so we are there, and it's super late, and it's 1 a.m., and we're not spending the night there. We're supposed to go home, and he starts to share his testimony. 3 hours later, this dude is still sharing his testimony. We're not going to get up, though, and be like, hey, bro, we got to go home. We don't want to hear this anymore. We probably should have. The thing is it was so long and so drawn out that I don't remember a single thing he said. I don't. I know that his life was changed, and that might make me look terrible, but people remember it if it's short and it's powerful and it gets to the point about who Jesus is and what he can do in your life. It looks like this. You just fill in the blank. Listen, I was blank, and then I met Jesus, and now I'm blank. I was stressed, and then I gave my stress and my anxiety to Jesus, and now I have peace. I was financially strapped. I was in debt. I gave my life to Jesus, and now I'm financially free because I know how to have wisdom whenever it comes to my money. I know how to wisely take care of my finances. I was addicted to drugs, but then I gave my life to Jesus, and now I'm set free from that bondage, from that addiction, because Jesus is all the satisfaction I need. And Jesus, I don't need to go to the drugs to numb me anymore. Instead, I know that Jesus can give me the satisfaction that I need, the peace that I need, the mental strength that I need in order to get through the struggles and the addiction that I was battling through. And when you begin to say that, as you share that with them, they're going to be like, well, I want that too. Why wouldn't somebody want peace? Why wouldn't somebody want to be free from this addiction that they're facing? Why wouldn't somebody want their marriage to be healed? Why wouldn't somebody want their wayward kid to stop acting, you know, like the world and give their life to Jesus and start honoring their mother and father? Everybody wants to experience that, but so many people, it hasn't been shared with them that there are people that it actually exist where Jesus has changed their life for better. And I need to be better about this as well. Sharing my testimony with people. And then number three, be prepared to share it at all times, in season and out of season. 1 Peter 3:15, it says this, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always, always, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. Do it with gentleness and respect. Do it with love. Do it with love. But always be prepared, is what Peter says, in season and out of season, to share why you have the hope that you have, to share why you have the belief that you have. And so, to sum up my testimony quick tips in just one sentence, I would say be real, be brief, be clear, point to Jesus. Point to Jesus. More than anything else that I want out of this message tonight is I hope and I pray that I've inspired you that you can go out and share your testimony. Like I said, I was preaching to myself tonight because I come across people all the time who don't know Jesus. My own family, for example. And I don't say anything about Jesus to them because I'm afraid they might get offended or something like that. Or, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, they won't receive it or it might fall on deaf ears. But it's time to get over that and move past it. In fact, as I was preparing this message, I just felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, I've got to be willing to offend some people if it means that some will be saved for Christ. And if sharing my testimony offends somebody, it's fine. It's fine because I was obedient in just sharing what Jesus had done in my life. And so my hope is that you guys would do that as well. That we, together as a church, will go out, share our testimony, and that we would invite them to come to this church to experience the goodness of God, to experience the peace of God and His goodness and mercy that follows us all the days of our life. And so tonight, how I'm going to close is I just want to pray for us, that the Holy Spirit would fill us with boldness, that He would give us the words to say, to share our testimony with those around us, and then Pastor Mark is going to come up and then we'll be dismissed. So let's bow our heads.